NFR Extra, we're going to take you behind the scenes in a way you've never heard before. Every 2 weeks, you're going to hear personal conversations with the icons and personalities that make up the world's richest and most prestigious rodeo. NFR Extra. All dirt, all rodeo, all year.
Episode 17, NFR Extra. Man, Robbie, we're cranking along. This is a weekly podcast that just keeps on churning all the way to the rodeo. I'm your host, Nevada Caldwell.
And I'm Wrangler National Finals barrel man, rocking Robbie Hodges, and I can't wait for this one.
Country music icon and probably one of the rodeo's biggest fans at almost 83 years old, just as old as the PRCA there, just celebrated their 80 years. Charlie Daniels comes on.
You bet. And then the greatest of all time, the GOAT, 8X, should have been 9 if you ask him, Mr. Donnie Gay is going to be on here, and he's going to tell us a lot of stuff about some great bull rides, a lot of stuff about the NFR, and he is a lot of knowledge in that little bitty head of his.
I liked even how he put a lot of emphasis on our man Sage Kimsey and kind of where he's at right now.
That's exactly right. You know, he knows greatness. He was great, so it's an honor, you know, and he's ready, and he thinks the guy can do it.
Enjoy this episode, and wherever you listen to us, if it's on iTunes, Spotify, Google, wherever, just make sure to hit that subscribe button.
Hi, I am Benny Butler, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
This is Brylan Bentley covering the Rodeo News of the Week.
PRCA stat of the week, $57 million plus dollars, the total anticipated regular season PRCA rodeo payout for 2019, including WPRA, Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, and the Clem McSpadden National Finals Steer Open. The Danita Barnes Lifetime Achievement Award winner is Roy and Virginia Honeycutt, to be presented to Roy at the PRCA Awards Banquet at the South Point Hotel and Casino December 4th. Scott Schneidecker eyes Clem McSpadden National Finals Steer Roping 3-peat and his 5th overall world title.
I think getting that information is pretty easy compared to the research on how to say those names, right?
Honestly, that'll be November 22nd and 23rd at the Kansas Star. Wade Sundell has been released to go home and get on the men. The Resist All Rookie Race will continue to run into the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo in the all-around, tie-down, and bull riding. Tune in next week to find out who the others are. The NFR app is back. Event schedules, tickets, Beyond the Dirt, news, daily results, and more. Download the NFR app at the App Store and Google Play. Schedule your NFR experience today.
Robbie, okay, I know we always say we got special guests, but there's no doubt about it. This guest is very special.
Yeah, you're getting this one for free. I just want you to know that. So this was the reason that I took this gig out here. Instead of rodeo clowning this week, I came out here just because when they said, I think old Charlie's going to be on here. So,
welcome to the show, Charlie Daniels.
Wow. Thank you, guys. Thank you. It's good to be with you. Wow. What a nice lead in there.
Hey, you're the reason that Leonard Skinner is playing again. I just want you to know that. So.
You're the reason. Well, I tell you what, they are playing again. They're doing a great job of it.
You
play with them once in a while. They're cooking along.
I know that, and we got some mutual friends there, old Sparky and everybody. And, you know, he's become a big rodeo fan now, so he'll probably come
Sparky
out and see.
Sparky should be riding the bull, you know.
He's about that size, well, ain't he?
We need to get him on a bull. He looks like a bull rider.
He does. He'll like that.
You've been coming here since day one. What is it like to be, well, A, number one, you're a music icon, but you're a huge fan of the rodeo. What is it like to come to the National Finals Rodeo every year? Not even talking about performing, but you coming as a fan. What's it like?
Well, I'm a huge rodeo fan, and have been for a long time. And I don't the problem I have trying to get rodeos is during rodeo season they tend to work on the same days I do, so I don't get the chance to go to very many. But to come to the best, the undeniably best rodeo in the world with the top 15 cowboys and cowgirls, the top stock, the top everything, the very top of the pile is the National Finals Rodeo. And to get to come and to go backstage and see some of the folks, I've got folks I've been seeing for years back there, and to meet some of the people and some of the older cowboys that I know and some of the newer ones coming along, and then to go up and set, to go out and entertain that crowd. I mean, that's always a thrill. But then to go up and sit in a booth and watch this rodeo unfold, it's if you are a rodeo fan, which I definitely am, it don't get no better than that.
Man, that is so cool.
You know, we were talking to, on our podcast, a couple of months ago, we were talking to Cody Johnson, and he was saying the same thing, that here he is, you know, he's a country artist on the road, but what he loved about being having access to this was being around the athletes and being around the rodeo, because he was such a giant fan. Anyway, he rode at one point, but it was more being a fan around the top stock, the top athletes, the top everybody in rodeo.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, I got old buddies that I see. I only see once in a long while, you know, just maybe once a year at the rodeo and all. I run into, it's still a thrill for me to run into Donnie Gay, you know?
Ah, that's funny. We're fixing to interview him.
Well, are you really?
Yes, sir. Yeah. We'll tell him he said hello.
My best, but oh, he's one of my heroes, man. I mean, I remember him sitting on top of some bad boys and riding them. And, you know, I run into him there once in a while. I run into Hawkeye Hansen once in a while. I used to. And, you know, I mean, just people that I've known and have been heroes of mine that I have watched perform for many years. And that's a thrill. I mean, that's a thrill just to, you know, to run into these guys. But to watch them perform. And I tell you what, the new crop's pretty doggone good, guys.
Yeah, they are. Sage and them guys. And
they're tough. And, you know, you got to – I don't know of any sport that it takes as much guts to be in as rodeo does. It's like, you know, the guy, usually, you know, if you're playing baseball or football or something, the guy on the other side of the ball, the other side of the field, whatever's got some rules you got to both go by. But that animal that you're dealing with ain't got no rules at all.
Exactly.
He ain't got to do nothing except exactly what he wants to do, which is to get you down on the ground and put a paw in your butt. And, you know, I mean, it's just, to know that you got a 130-pound cowboy sitting on 2,000 pounds of bull, and he's twisting off and carrying on, boys. You know, if I don't get your blood going, you better make a reservation at the Undertaker, because you're dead.
Well, now you talk about all them, Charlie, but let me tell you something. You used to turn some old steers back for some buddies of mine over around Carrollton, Georgia, too. You know, Johnny and all them guys.
Johnny Daniel, we used to do that. I actually were turning back for me because I was a healer.
Exactly.
I started learning how to rope. Everybody wanted to head. You know, that was the glamour part.
I'll just
take that other end. I'm glad I did.
I can't believe you still got your thumbs and everything. You know,
yeah, exactly.
We go to the NFR every, you know, we do the autograph session. There's 9 thumbs left in that whole bunch of 30 guys.
Well, I throw down a rope. I throw down a rope for my daddy in New York Minute, man. I had no care about it all about, you know, grabbing one if it meant I got my thumb in the daddy. Ooh. I'd always throw it down. But, you know, I did it for fun. I didn't do it other than just jackpot, you know, around the neighborhood or anything.
Well, from Billy Ray Green and them, they said you weren't so bad at it either. They said anytime you entered, you would, anybody want to enter with you, you'd sure catch some hooves. And they were sure proud of it back our way, you know. And just like when you used to do the rodeo there at Murfreesboro, I actually have 3 of your buckles from the Twin Pines Ranch Rodeo. From the bareback riding. And,
I have got one. I won one. I got lucky one. With a friend of mine, I don't know how we did it, but we stretched one faster than anybody else did. And that one of my proudest possessions, man.
It is. Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna send you back one with Roger and Terry. I'm gonna send you one of them buckles back that I won. How about that right there?
Your heart. Well, you know, I would absolutely appreciate it, but I hate for you to give it up, man.
That's all right. It'd be worth it because I can tell everybody where I'm going when I'm sitting in the bar out here in Vegas. Hey, Charlie got that thing back. So, you know, you're a cowboy to us. You may be a singer to everybody else, but you're a singing cowboy to us, and we appreciate you.
So, Charlie, the hat, there's a significant reason for that hat that you wear. How does it correlate to the rodeo?
Well, actually, I started, you know, I started wearing a hat on stage. And I had an old black cowboy hat. And I don't know, I lay it to keep the stage lights, bus lights out of my eyes. But I just basically wanted to wear a hat. I just always loved wearing a hat. So I took it to stage me one night and wore it, and it got to be a part of me. Next time I did the album cover, I did a cowboy hat on the album cover. I've been doing it ever since. And I just really, You know, I just feel like it's part of me. It's a part of the lifestyle that I choose to wear. I mean, to live, and the people that I choose to be associated with, and you know, it just kind of personifies me. So, you know, I just can't imagine going on stage without my hat.
I imagine. You know, Tommy Crane used to have a hat on too, didn't he?
Tommy wore a hat.
You better believe it. Boy, I miss them days a lot. And June
what a
Jams,
great guitar player.
What a great guitar. Was, yeah, that's Sparky loved was, him too. He always tells me about y'all, you know, and stuff. Golly. I can't
Sparky's a good guy. I enjoyed really all the time he worked with me. I still got his phone number, and I called him up once in a while.
Yeah, I do too. Hey, brother, what's happening? Yeah. Hey, brother. You know, he's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Got him quite a little gig for you, didn't he?
He did a great job for me, and I was so glad to see him get that. He left with a group called Hot Apple Pie. They had a record deal, and they went out, and he came to me one night and talked to me about it. He said, Charlie, I got a shot, you know. I said, well, you know, take it. Go get it.
Yeah.
And so that didn't quite work out, but then the Skinner, I heard he got the Skinner deal, and that's so great. He's so good there, man. He's so... Not every guitar player in the country would fit in with Leonard Skinner Band.
No.
You know, but Sparky fits like a hand in a glove, man. He does a great job. And I've been playing with those guys since they first had their first record. We've been working together many, many years ago. And he fits well. They've had a lot of heartache in that band. They've had a lot of...
Well, that's the cowboy way anyway, you know. I know about it.
But every time they get knocked down, they get back up. If you get back up one more time, you get knocked down, you're a winner.
You better believe that's the rodeo. You get on one.
No matter what difference how many throw you get on one that don't throw you, you're a winner in my book.
That's awesome.
So Charlie, why the fiddle? Out of all the instruments, what's up with the fiddle? Why is that your go-to? I mean, there's got obviously a reason.
When I first started playing back during Abraham Lincoln's time, I started playing the chords on guitar, and I played it for a while, and I've always been adventurous about doing stuff, and I started playing a mandolin, and one day somebody showed up with a fiddle, and I come to find out that the fiddle keyboard and the mandolin keyboard, of course you pick one and bow the other one, but they are the same. If you put your fingers in the same position to play a fiddle that you do a mandolin. So I had to try it, and I kind of got addicted to it. And you know, all these years I've been playing fiddle, I have held it wrong. I push too hard on the bow. I hold the bow wrong. I do everything wrong. But it works for me. I get a kid come up and ask me sometime, Charlie, what about playing fiddle? I said, don't look at me. Don't do it like I do it. You know, go look at Mark O'Connor or some of these guys that do it right. Because I don't do it right. But it works for me. It makes my sound and you know what I do, but I absolutely, if you look at the way I hold the fiddle, the way I play it, the way I push down on the bow and everything, I do it everything wrong. But I ain't gonna change it now. I've been doing it too long.
Yeah, maybe if you practice up, you'd be all right at it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm gonna try.
Like the bull riders say, you can't bat just like Babe Ruth. You can bat as good as Babe Ruth, you know. And I think everybody else is wrong and you're right, Charlie. To be honest
with you,
don't you guys?
Okay, I'll take that. I like that.
All right. Well, there's one more thing that we want to touch on here. First of all, thank you for joining the show. This is, you know, listening to you talk and stories is fantastic. But there's other things, you know, the energy that comes to you. Also put out a lot of energy for folks. And, you know, you got the Charlie Daniels Patriot Award Dinner, which raised over, what, $200,000 for U.S. military vets?
Well, we're still counting and figuring out expenses, but somewhere in that neighborhood is what we're looking at. Yeah, I think we raised something like that.
Why? I mean, I'm by no means questioning your patriotism, but what? I mean, why all the energy? I mean,
Well, I'll be 83, just 28 next month. So I remember the Second World War. I'm from Wilmington, North Carolina, which is a seaport town. We had a shipyard that built Liberty ships, and it was a port city where war goods were loaded onto boats and taken out through the mouth of the Cape Fear River across the Atlantic Ocean to service our troops in Europe. A lot of those boats, I don't know how many, but there were several that were sunk just off our coast by German submarines, sometimes so close. It was said you could see the fires of battle from our beaches. So from the time I was 5 years old, I was about 10 years old, the Second World War was part of my life, but we always knew and that there was somebody between us and the enemy. Somebody was saying, to get to them, you got to come through them. That ain't going to happen. And that was only two things protect America. I say this on stage every night: the grace of Almighty God, the United States military. Now, anybody who puts their life on the line and stands between me and somebody and my family and somebody that wants to kill us, they're my hero. That's our United States military. Those are the guys and gals that do it. They stand between us and the people who want to kill us, just putting it in plain language. And when I hear some pompous politician popping off about something wrong with the military, it makes me, my hat size starts getting too small. I don't brook no junk like that with them. And I'm just being physical. I'm too old. I don't do that. Yeah,
you'd still whack somebody.
I will get on your case right quick start degrading the military, because without them, there is no us. It's been proven over the last 200 some years. So that's why I do it. That's why I put energy into it. And we can never do enough for our veterans, because they've done so much for us.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and that's well said.
What are you thinking, V? Was that enough for you? Now,
yeah,
you understand?
Well, and we follow Charlie Daniels on social media, and your messaging every day, everything is very, it hits home hard, you know. And obviously, yeah, military is huge for us, the NFR, as well as the rodeo business, as well as just the country in general. So, no, that's amazing stuff. And, you know, I remember you'd celebrated your 80th. You're just as old as the PRCA. Because when we were doing the 80th, we were doing the 80th. You were also celebrating your 80th.
Well, I'm glad to find something as old as I am. I thought Willie Nelson was the only person.
That's great. Good Lord Almighty. Well, this has been so much fun for me.
This is awesome. You know,
this is a country guy gone good, man.
We get to talk to Charlie Daniels on this podcast.
We win.
I appreciate it.
Charlie, thank you so much for everything.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you what you do for them soldiers. You know, we never let a day go by that we don't thank them. And you're one of us. Or we're one of you, actually.
You.
I tell you what.
I'm honored to be one of you guys, man. I appreciate the big honor to be. And we'll see y'all out there.
Yes. You got her, buddy. All right.
Viva Las Vegas. Huh?
All right. Tell Roger and everybody hello, and we'll see you guys out here.
Safe travels, Charlie.
Thank you, buddy. Okay. Bye-bye.
For more information about NFR and Cowboy Christmas, please visit NFRExperience.com. And while you're listening, don't forget to hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play for the NFR podcast.
The Top 35 Las Vegas Most Memorable National Finals Rodeo Moments is brought to you by ProRodeoTV.com. Few knew at the 2000 Wrangler NFR that the Steer Wrestling Rookie of the Year was a superstar in the making. Luke Branquino would win his first world title 4 years later. He claimed number two in 2008 and exploded for three in a four-year stretch in 2011, 12, and 14. Along the way, he back-ended into a signature victory move. It's called the Branquino Booty Shake. That jiggle is bad news for the competition. Branquino has won 25 rounds at the Thomas & Mack. That is a steer wrestling record. In 2004, en route to his first gold buckle, Luke threw 5 of the 10 head in 3.9 seconds or faster. His win in round 2 with a run of 3.1 seconds was just 1/10 of a second off the arena record. Luke has won 3 NFR average titles, tying him for second most all time, and he qualified 14 times for the NFR in a 15-year stretch between 2001 and 2015. By the way, his 5 steer wrestling gold buckles is second best, just one world title behind fellow steer wrestling legend Homer Pettigrew.
Hi, I'm 23-time world champion cowboy Trevor Brazil, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
The man with 8 bull riding world titles. Y'all know him. Donnie Gay, welcome to the NFR Extra podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be there.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, you know, the fans know you. You're world champ. Your television commentary is bar none, like one of some of the best I've ever listened to. there's a lot going on with what you provide for the rodeo business. Where are you at right now? What are you up to?
Well, actually, I'm home, and I've been doing home chores since I had a 10-day rodeo. And your co-host Robbie Hodges was with me in Pasadena, Texas. Frontier Rodeo produced a rodeo down there for 9 days of rodeo performances and 10 days overall. And so the pasture grew up around this ranch, so I had to come do a little mowing.
Did you now?
Obviously, you're not riding bulls. You're not. I mean, what keeps you busy all year long? What do you got going on?
Okay, so Donnie Gay is doing the two things that he's always loved, and that's rodeoing and flying airplanes, and that's how I got to the rodeos in my competition years, and I'm still doing it. I'm the general manager for Frontier Rodeo Company, and which I think is the biggest and best rodeo company in pro rodeo. We've been stock contracting firm of the year for the last 4 years, and we're in the running for maybe a fifth one. But you know, I oversee that company, but what I really am is the chief pilot. Whenever Jerry Nelson, the owner of Frontier Rodeo, wants to go somewhere, I fire up the plane and away we go. And so that's basically what I do. We have a rodeo this weekend at the Oklahoma State Fair in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so I don't lack things to do. I'm moving forward. I never thought I'd be a jet pilot when I started out and bought my first little Cherokee 235. But I'm flying a Citation 5 now, and things sure goes fast.
Yes, it does.
You used to ride jets back in the day, but they were spinning and jumping.
Yes.
And
you were one of the original guys, Donnie, that rodeoed out of an airplane. I know, you know, some of the other guys did some, but tell everybody how many rodeos you could actually get to in a year. You know, before they had this 100 rodeo cutoff and stuff like that, how many did you actually go to in a few years there when you won one of your 8Xs?
Well, It's not so much about the rodeos, the more rodeos that you can go to. It's just you can get to more rodeos fresher. I was competing at over 150 events a year from 1973. But 1972, I graduated from high school, so I didn't get started until June. And but I qualified for my first NFR. In 1972, graduated from Mesquite High School and wound up number 7 for the world that year. That may have been the most exciting year of my life. I just couldn't believe it. But then 73, I went to 165 rodeos and wound up second. Wow. Behind Bobby Steiner. Then in 1974, I vowed not to be second anymore, I won my first world title, and I realized that I was, you know, my goal had always been I'm going to be the world champion bull rider. Well, you know, that started when I was 5 years old at the first national finals rodeo in 1959. I'm dreaming about being just like Jim Shoulders, who I was watching at the time. But I had no idea how long you were the world champion. You know, I didn't know when that was going to start, when that was going to finish. And so I basically, you know, had blinders on. But I realized after just 3 years going, I wasn't going to be able to continue on. You can put six guys in a van and rotate driving all night and all day and all night and all day, but you don't ever really get any rest. And so I got my pilot's license. I'd watch Larry Mahan, Bobby Berger, and Dennis Reiners, and people like that flying airplanes, and George Paul, you know, and I just thought that was the coolest thing. So what they did, that's what I wanted to do. So up and away.
Don, so let me ask this question. So, you know, when a lot of the athletes we talk in here, we talk about fitness and, you know, how do they keep their body stable throughout the whole year? And just a little reference of like NFL, right? They say if you come to the season hurt, you ain't healing until the next year. You know, like just you're playing hurt all year long. How did you back then, doing that many rodeos, How'd you take care of yourself?
I'm still playing hurt. You know, the difference between, you know, all of the other sports, the difference is a rodeo cowboy never takes his uniform off till he goes to bed. And you know, so you're in uniform every day, and cowboys are just supposed to be tough. And back in the day, that's all it was. I mean, I saw Jim Schultz do things that most people would just shake their heads and go, you got to be kidding me. I mean, he separated his shoulder. They put his shoulder back in. They pin it. This is on like on maybe a Wednesday. And he's riding again on Saturday.
Oh, goodness man. Gracious! Jeez,
He didn't just get on. He won the event.
Wow! Oh, man. I tell you, you know, he was amazing.
Robbie, I swear, he broke his leg up high and had a cast from his hip to his toes on a Thursday. Got in his car and drove after he got the cast on. Drove to Dallas, to the Dallas area from Oklahoma, where he lived. It was a 4-hour drive. We had the rodeo producing a rodeo at Mesquite and in Grand Prairie. And so I'm at Grand Prairie and Jim drives up. He's going to, he's hosting that rodeo for my dad. And Jim Shoulders has got this cast on from his hip to his toes. I'm talking about broke his leg just off. And he gets on a horse.
I was like, don't even say he rode.
he rigs up a sling around the horse's neck, sticks his leg, gets on the horse, sticks his leg through that sling, and never got off for the entire performance.
Rode
around shaking hands, signing an autograph. I'm sitting there going, you've got to be kidding me.
Right.
And
he was so incredible.
This is how I grew up.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know it. Had we known, you know, about stretching and chiropractic and things of that nature, we would have been light years ahead as far as longevity. But you know, you can basically do anything for 8 seconds if you have your mind made up. That was the mindset of Jim Shoulders, and so
that was yours too. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, you were.
I got it.
Don't take away from yourself there, Donnie.
I know. Now you know how we feel about having a hero like you. I got to say this. There's this awesome, awesome picture of Donnie and Jim Shoulders together. And I had it on my Facebook a few months ago. It says, you may be cool, but you'll never be Donnie Gay shooting pool off of Miller Lite, which was his bull, with Jim Shoulders holding
Buford T. Light.
Buford T. Light was his name. And that is the coolest picture. So what I wanted to do maybe in a year or so, and, you know, you, of course, and that'll get us into this with Sage Kimsey and stuff, you know, with he's kind of closing in. It's going to be a tough record to beat, eight of them, you know. And I wanted to reenact that picture, how cool that would be with Donnie holding Heath and M's bull, you know, the one that'll and let
Wilbur.
Him shoot pull Wilbur and him shoot and pull off of that. How cool would that be? That one's going
on
my wall.
You know, when he, you know, I'll do it when he gets eight, but you know, I'll do the bow down when he does nine.
Yeah, I got it.
And I believe I just believe that Sage Kimsey can break the record. I really do.
Wow. Now see that's
I've been saying it for 4 years. The guy has everything that he needs, you know, but Tiger Woods was supposed to break Jack Nicklaus's record, too.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, money, fame, focus, the world and life gets in the way sometimes. And so, and I can tell you, you know, they said, well, how is it, you know, what's it going to be like for Sage? And I said, well, I said, if you think it's hard to win one, wait till you try to win another one. Yeah. And another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one.
That's seven.
And another one.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know,
eight is one thing, but nine, you know.
Well, I'll tell you this. If he can get to eight, if he can win eight, that'll be his toughest one.
Yep.
Just the mental focus. But if he can win eight, he won't have to do anything but mail his shaps and bull rope in, and he'll win the ninth one, because everybody will throw it. Everybody that might not want him to break the record, they'll quit hating on it, and they'll throw in, and they'll be just like me. They'll be cheerleading.
Yes,
because they have no idea, you know, how hard an accomplishment that
says a lot. I mean, if you don't believe me, look at these kind of records like this. Look at Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah.
Richard Petty, you know, he caught Richard Petty, Dale Earnhardt, Jimmy Johnson shot up there at 7. He ain't going to win 8 this time, you know, and that next one, that one right before you died is a tough.
Well, and we talk about winning, like, as it's won, right? But it's a season, right? It's like this whole thing you got to go through.
It's the cumulative, and in my estimation, that's better than let's say the Super Bowl, because how many times have you watched the Super Bowl and the best team not win?
Yes,
know, you go back from the Joe Namath. You think the Jets were better than the Colts?
No,
they were that day. They
exactly.
were that day.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
you know what I'm saying, and so. So this right here, the cumulative, I did not like the sudden death that we had in 76, 77, and 78.
Oh, the Chris Ledoux years. Yeah, that's when he won his bareback round title. Yeah.
I won in 76 both ways, the most money and the NFR. In 77, I won the most money, and I wound up tied with Randy Majors, and we had the only write-off in history at the NFR, and I won that.
Yeah,
and then cool. the next year, I won the most money, and I won second at the NFR to Butch Kirby, who's the world champion. and I tell everybody, Butch Kirby's a great world champion. It just wasn't the right one.
You're exactly right.
You know, so I mean, and Butch and I are fine with it. I mean, you know, that's just part of it.
Not on the golf course, y'all aren't. I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah, well, we still butt heads and try to win, and I ain't beat him on the golf course.
No.
Ever.
So, Donnie, back then when you were riding, you know, how was it? You mentioned, you know, the first NFR here in Vegas, you were a part of that. How was it? Because you can probably pull that up pretty quick on your memory. How was it going from Oklahoma to here? What was the feelings like? What were all the emotions? And, I mean, were you up about it? I mean, how'd you feel about all that?
You know, whenever they were first talking about it, I thought, man, you know, the NFR has finally found a place, you know, to where you can sell out every performance and really be a focal point. And it's different. Just because they have championship boxing matches in Vegas, you know, I didn't want to move. I was of that, you know, when things are working, you know, don't mess with the apple cart. Kind of mentality, and that's the way most everybody thought. But then on the other hand, so let me just put all this money and stuff in perspective, and we're not talking about, you know, Ezekiel Elliott averaging 1.9 yards per carry and getting $50 million a year. So we won't talk about NFL money. y'all will be talking NFL money here pretty soon, you know, coming next year with the Raiders, but the first year I qualified for the national finals, you know what first place in the go-round paid in the bull riding? Ooh. In every event, but in the bull riding, the first place in the go-round in 1959 paid $429 to win first place.
Man.
So fourth place just barely paid $100.
Wow, that's an Uber ride from the Thomas and Mack over to the South Point now for the buckle deal.
I'll say this. $100 went a lot further in 72 than it does.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
That being said, I'm still trying to answer your switching from Oklahoma City to Las Vegas question. The RCA, the PRCA, had been doing well. National Finals was just the cat's meow. It was the best. It was the most money of any rodeo association. And so we were top of the heap. Well, the last year at Oklahoma City was my last world title in 1984. Okay, so I win that world title. I broke the single season money winning record again and won a little over $63,000 in total. That's what I won at the NFR and here. And the go rounds, in 1984 were paying $4,500 a round.
Oh, man.
For first place. And to me, I thought, you know, that's all the money in the world. That's plenty of money for a guy right doing anything for 8 seconds. And we made the move, and I voted for it whenever they said the go-rounds are going to pay $8,500 for first. And I said, I'm going to qualify for Vegas just to see how that feels. And so that was the mindset. And so we left Oklahoma City, and there was not anybody had their lips stuck out, thinking we're going to miss Oklahoma City, because we realized when we went to Las Vegas, and you know, my dad was talking firsthand with Benny Binion and all the movers and shakers in Las Vegas at the time, Bill Boyd and Benny Binion, they were our instant heroes, because guess what? They didn't rob the Cowboys. So
right on.
They were going to double, Oklahoma City was going to double the money. They were going to match or beat, the $8,500. But that was after we made the deal with Las Vegas. They said, we can beat that. And I said, yeah, well, y'all had about 20 years of it that you should have been trying to beat it. And, you missed your chance, and Las Vegas was the beneficiary of that. And so not only do they have a business partner in the National Finals Rodeo, but it's a relationship that has covered a lot of territory.
That is, and everybody has those videos back in the 85 and when you were going. And do me a favor, though, for everybody out there, because there's so many Donnie Gay fans. Everywhere I go, I say, where's Donnie Gay at? Where's Donnie Gay at? We miss Donnie Gay, and we love to hear him talk, because he's most informative, commentator there is. What do you think, honestly, for folks, what is the best or your most favorite bull ride you ever made? Not to win a championship, but what do you think, if you had to score you, what would your best bull ride that you ever made would be?
Well, there's no question. The 95 point ride I made on Red One at the 1976 NFR. That was the first year of sudden death. The way I had it figured is I had to be over 90 points to win first in the go round. Obviously, that was back in 1976, a 90 point ride or anything above that is going to win first. There weren't very many of them.
Yeah, that was 113. Now, if you're 113,
at least,
exactly.
So I had to be over 90 points. I had win first in the go round and win the average. I was going to, I think, ride 8 or 9 out of 10. I don't remember exactly which. I think it was 8 out of 10. I'd ride 8 out of 10, but if I was over 90 points and won first in the round and first in the average. And Randy Majors couldn't win any more than third place. So this is destiny for you. I said, well, there's two bulls here that I think I can ride and be over 90 points on. That's Red One, Generalissimo, and Oscar. Well, I have Red One. Randy Majors has Oscar.
Jeez.
I won first and was 95 points and won the average, and Randy Majors won third and was just right behind me. If he'd have won second, he would have won it.
On the Great Bull Oscar.
On the Great Bull Oscar. He rode my pack for a dance.
Donnie Gate rode the Great Bull Oscar, too. That is a great story. I mean, it's so neat to hear.
I was 97 on Oscar at the Cow Palace in 1977, but that wasn't as good a ride. You have to remember, you have different judges, different arena setups, different crowd levels. And it always goes back to which girl's the prettiest. It always depends on who's looking.
Well, that's how we judge a mutton busting most of the time anyway. So, how that always goes. What a great story.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And thank you. I mean, this is an honor. Folks miss you on the TV broadcast. I don't care whoever does whatever.
I miss you. I appreciate that. But, I miss being on the television. Doug Call, I'm going to be out there. So, times change, and people are calling the shots. Well, that's not me. I'm available, just because I'm still the biggest rodeo fan that there is.
Okay.
The best thing is you look forward to it, because I'm a Boyd Gaming ambassador, and I ride for the brand, and I'm going to tell you, so I'm not doing the television probably at the NFR. It doesn't look like that. Nobody's called. But I have the National Finals Tonight show every night after the rodeo at 10:30 p.m. at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. And no cover charge in the Honky Tonk Saloon. And we will recap the rodeo and tell you everything we thought went wrong and right. NFR contestant interviews, that sort of thing. Me, Dan Miller, Joe B., and Bob Tallman, we're unplugged, and it's a lot of fun every night.
Yeah, try to get a ticket for that one. That's a good one.
Well, yeah, hey, you know, there's no cover charge. We just open the door, and when it gets full, we just turn on more TV screens. So come to the Orleans and have a great time.
It is such a pleasure to get to work with you throughout the years and stuff, and it's one of my favorites. You're a great announcer, a great friend of mine. And I was very much, you know, I told you last week that I was sure looking forward to getting to talk to you on an interview. And as usual, you didn't let us down. And
you know that whenever you told me that I was going to be interviewed by you, I've been a little bit nervous.
I bet you have. Hey, I behaved about a seven. I mean, it was
like, what's Robbie going to ask me?
You know,
we've got us some stories. What's your favorite Robbie story? Now we better wait on another episode for that.
I tell you what, I would tell you everything bad about Robbie Hodges, and we can do that when I'm on stage at the National Finals tonight in the Orleans. I'll tell you all the bad Robbie stories. But he's got a girlfriend named Krista DeRolf and a dog named Bullet, and they have totally straightened this boy up.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's been a journey. You're my friend, and I love what we do together, and I love traveling. And when I get there and I know you're there, I know we're going to be all right, whether we're flying or driving.
Well, you know. I tell you, Donnie, this was great. Huge fan of yours. You know, I'm the city guy that gets to work here at LVE for the NFR, and I'm a big fan of rodeo, big fan of you. Heard a lot about you growing up, and you're fascinating on as you commentate the rodeo. You don't leave any information out. I mean, like, you inform exactly what needs to be known. Thank you very much for coming on the show. This was great. Fans, and thank you for sharing where you're going to be, because the fans will be looking for you.
Absolutely. We got to tell him this. Charlie Daniels is a huge.
Yes.
We just interviewed Charlie a little bit ago, and that's the first person he mentioned when he said, I don't get to see my old boys, old son, but I love that Donnie Gay, didn't he?
Yeah, me and Charlie go way back, and he's playing the fiddle, and I just was fiddling around, and we've had some fun.
That's right. Thank you, Donnie.
Well, thank you, Donnie.
All right, guys.
8X.
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Nellie Miller, world champion barrel racer, and this is NFR Extra.
That's a wrap on episode 17, Robbie, and man, oh man, oh man! That was a lot of heavy hitters there. We had one gentleman with a lot of gold buckles and a lot of another guy with gold albums. I want to say,
yes, you do, Charlie Daniels. What a great interview! What a great American patriot. Got to talk a little music, and you know that's down my alleyway right there. And then, of course, we got to talk to old 8X himself, old Donnie Gay. Golly, everybody misses old Donnie around. And I tell you what, these two guys. This one's going to be free. There's no charge on this podcast, okay? I'm gonna tell you what. That was the biggest honor. That's the reason I flew out here, is to do those two guys right there, because they're my buddies.
You know, and what was really interesting is they both referenced each other, not knowing that we were interviewing them, right?
Is that crazy? Charlie Daniels said, oh, son, that's my hero right there, is Donnie Gay. And, you know, and Donnie was talking about playing golf with Charlie and everything. Golly. If you didn't get anything out of that one, y'all just unsubscribe. Just get away from us, because it was a good one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, and make sure if you listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us, make sure to hit that subscribe button.
Gotta make it out to Vegas, where the big boys roam, with the rovers and the racers and the bulls and the browns, and the ladies in the skin-tight wranglers and the cowboy hats.